Single? Middle-aged? What the f-
We're finally doing this again. All right, hi.
Hi.
Okay, are you going to try Malbec or are you going to try your little...
I'll try a sip.
Okay. We'll have to get you a new glass for the new wine, though. You can't put white in a glass with red remnants.
Just a sip. Let me...
Just try mine.
Try yours.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Okay, do you want to try the white first?
No.
You sure?
Okay. Yeah.
Ooh, look at that color. Oh, that is gorgeous.
Here.
Beautiful. What?
Well, I already drank out of it, so I'll take this one.
Oh, got it. Okay.
I know.
Makes sense. Okay.
Dolly cooties.
Dolly cooties. Okay, we're drinking a Malbec today, everybody. It is a Gascon Malbec, which I love, and it's from Argentina, which they usually make some really good Malbecs out of Argentina. So, yeah. Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, salute. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
We're here.
I know.
We're doing it.
Wow, 2023.
Here we go. Let's see if we can get more than three episodes in.
Nuh-uh. Was it only?
Maybe two.
No. No. It wasn't. Okay, like it was maybe four. Before.
One a quarter.
One quarter.
We need to do better.
We need to be better.
People, we need to do better.
We need to do better.
Okay. Yeah. Here's our attempt. Oh, that is good.
It's really good.
Kind of very fruity forward, right?
Yeah, it's supposed to be like chocolate, blackberry, blueberry,
really
chocolate,
good.
Smoke.
Okay, yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
All right, so how's it going? First, hi, everybody.
Hi.
We're back. We're excited to be chit-chatting and back talking about, we've been talking about like what are going to be some great topics because... You know, you can only talk about dating and stuff so much. We do have a little dating thing that we are going to be talking about.
We do?
Yes. What we were just talking about earlier, when you keep sleeping with somebody because you think it's going to make them...
Not me personally.
Like you, not like her personally. You. Like you as in general, like people. Like I've done it before. Like,
well, we all have.
Yeah. Like you, somebody's not into you as much as you're into them. You might be crossing this little border of being obsessed and still sleeping with them, even though you know they're never going to choose you because you think you're going to change their mind. Like, and that ties into a whole other deeper kind of situation that I think we should dive into all that. I feel like that's a big deal. I think a lot of women do that. And do you think a lot of men know that women are doing that? Do you think that they have a sense? Do they take advantage of that being a weak point for some women?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But I also will say I think it's flipped also. I think if a guy is more into the girl and the girl will, you know, sleep with the guy knowing full well this is going nowhere, I just want sex, or it just feels good right now, or I need attention. You know, I think it works both ways. I think unfortunately though, maybe I'm wrong. I think it's more damaging for a woman than a man. But I'm not a man, so I don't know, you know? But, you know, going back to caveman day, the reason that we hang on for 30 days after having sex is because when you're having your period, you think you might be pregnant. So you hang on to until you have your period and then you're released again. And we're past that stage where we're not having that anymore. But I still think emotionally women are just, we're just, we are, we're wired differently. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, when men sleep with us, we go in a tailspin, especially if we are in love with a man that we're sleeping with, but they're not in love with us and they're not choosing us. You know, it goes to back to a story of where the woman said to me, I want him to pick me.
Yeah.
I want him to choose me, pick me. And he's not picking me. And, you know, she was going off and off and off about other things. And I thought, oh, she's angry. She's hurt. But when she said that, that was.
I want him to pick me.
Yeah. That hit me. That was really coming from a really strong place of hurt. She was very hurt.
Yeah. That's a wounded comment.
Her conversation with me prior to that was all anger, but when she said that, I just thought, that's hurt.
Yeah.
And we've all been there.
I've totally been there.
We've wanted someone to pick us.
And I've actually been the one that was like, yeah, I want him to pick me. And if I do this, maybe I'll change his mind. Maybe he'll pick me if I'm sexier, if I'm, you know, crazy and better, if I, whatever the case may be, or if I'm like an amazing cook, or if I'm, you know, more affectionate, if I'm more of something, right. What is it going to take for him to pick me? And the truth is, he never intended on picking you in the first place or ever.
Nope.
And this literally has happened to me where I came to the realization the last time we ever went out and went somewhere with this somebody that I was dating that I had this situation with, and we were at a concert and we were walking away. He went to go to the restroom and he forgot to bring beers to the concert for the tailgate. And he's like, oh my gosh, I really wish we had a couple of beers. And he's like, I'm going to use the restroom. And I'm like, okay, use the restroom. I'll go get us some beer. I'll meet some people out here in the tailgate area and I'll get us some beer. He's like, no way. And I'm like, yeah, just leave it to me. Cause I don't have a problem walking up to people. Hey, we totally spaced on the beer thing. You got some extras. Like, you know, I have no problem. I'll, you know, Venmo you, whatever. Right. And so he comes out and I'm standing there with a group of people. And by this time I'm already on a first name basis, cranking the music, got us some beers. And we were walking to the concert and he like shook his head a little bit. And I looked at him, I go, what? And he goes, I'm just wondering if I should, I was walking up to you, watching you with that group, thinking, should I give this woman a chance? We had been together for months at that point.
Wow.
And what that told me, he didn't say, should I give this woman another chance? He said, should I give her a chance? Which told me right then and there, I never had a chance. He never gave me a chance.
No. Nope.
It was, exactly he was right. Never going to pick me in that moment when he said those words. And I brought that up to him a couple of weeks later. I needed to let that sit and process so I didn't bring it up to him from an emotional wounded space.
Like,
like, and I told him, that's what you said. Do you realize what that meant? And he was like, oh my God. Yeah. I never thought about that. I didn't mean it that way. Blah, blah. But of course, I mean, that's exactly what he meant.
He did mean it that way.
That's exactly what he meant. Yeah. So, and I was doing all the things. I bought the great, maybe if I take him to a concert and I bought us these great tickets that I paid for, really, really, really good seats to Chris Stapleton. Like I was doing all the work. I was like, I feel like that this person that we're talking about that we ran into recently that was talking about her relationship with this guy saying, I just want him to pick me. She's probably doing backflips for this guy and he could care less.
Well, she's still sleeping with him.
Oh my God.
And he's not picking her. And it's like, oh, you're always enough. We all go through this. We're not enough. We're not thin enough. We're not this enough. We're not sexy enough. We're not good enough in bed. We're not a good enough cook. I mean, oh my God, the list is on and on and on. But the bottom line is you are enough. For the right person, you are enough. We are enough. We have to figure out our worth. We are definitely enough. And her still sleeping with him when she knows he is flat out not choosing her, her worth is nothing.
Yeah.
And he knows it.
And
that's why he keeps going back.
Okay, let's flip this. Do you think I think there are men out there who go through this exact same thing on our end. There are men out there, which hardly ever gets talked about. There's men out there who they don't think they're enough either.
Oh, yes.
They're flipping, doing backflips for women who treat them like absolute crap. And I'm over here going, I'll treat you like a queen, like a king.
I know.
They don't see me. They're like, no, we don't want the nice girl. It's the same thing. Like
I
they're
agree,
doing 100%. Backflips for these girls who are never going to pick them either. And I see this with men too. It never gets talked about, but I think men have those same thoughts and those same fears and those same insecurities. And they sing about it a lot more in country music than in any other genre. I mean, I've listened to some songs and I literally look up and go, did a man write these lyrics? Because if this is coming from the thoughts and the heart of a man, I want to meet these people. Like, I don't see, you don't meet them very often, but I hear it in songs that are being sung that men have all of these same kinds of emotions and feelings and insecurities and all this other stuff. It just doesn't get talked about, like, ever.
Not like it does in the with women. Because, well, first of all, we women, we talk about our emotions and our feelings, and men don't. Men aren't going to go to another guy and go la 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 la, because that guy's going to go dump her ass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which yeah. is what all his girlfriends that are girls are also saying. But when he's invested, and some men like the chase, women like the chase. You know, I don't know. I just think, and we've all been there in our youth, because we're older and we do know our worth and are realizing our worth. I'm not going to put up with that.
No, not. I won't do that again.
No, again, exactly. I'm not going to go through that again. No. And when you see women that are doing that, it's you just want to shake them and go, oh, what can I say to you
yeah.
that will get you out of this funk?
Well, and I think there is something to be said for sure that we're older and more mature, but there's also that element of healing where you there's either something happens to trigger it, or you make a decision. I'm sick of this. I want different results. I want to live my life differently. I want to see myself differently. I want to treat myself differently. It's not about how somebody else treats you, but you finally get to a place and go, I want to treat myself differently. I'm not going to continue to treat myself that way. I'm not going to continue to let these actions of somebody else, I'm not going to keep continuing to hurt myself because of these actions of somebody else. And like, you get into this whole healing thing. And this is where I started to shift this past year or 2 years. We were talking about it a little, and on our last episode, I said, we'll talk about it on the next episode.
Yeah.
And this is a perfect segue, because if you don't figure out and decide that you're going to heal the place that those kinds of behaviors are coming from and get to the root of why you're behaving this way, why are you settling for scraps?
Right. Why don't you think you're worth?
Why don't you think you're worth the whole
ABC?
ABC, the whole dinner plate, instead of just the freaking scraps that are left, the crumbs. You know what I mean? So I ended up deciding that I really wanted to go on this. I've always been, you know me, I've always been sort of into healing and all that kind of stuff and meditation and really deeply thinking about things. But I decided last year I was really going to start diving deep into my wounded childhood, where certain things came from. And that past relationship really woke me up in a lot of ways. I mean, I owe this guy like a huge thank you, because it was it really woke me up in certain ways. It's as difficult as it was. It was also a big wake up. And now where I am because of that is actually really kind of fun. I've never been this sort of like sure and sassy and, you know, confident and, oh, hell no. You know what I mean? Right. I've never been this strong in this area before ever. But it started with my really good friend, Jana. She owns Emotional Healing Retreats. And I've been working so much lately, these last couple years, doing so much that I decided I was just going to go on a road trip. Somebody needed my apartment. I was like, okay, I'll pack a backpack, hit the road. I end up in Santa Fe at my friend Jana's place, and she has a healing barn in Santa Fe, and I stayed there. Well, she came down and said, I feel like she felt called to take me through a hypnotherapy session.
Oh, wow.
And this hypnotherapy session is all about going into a root experience, a childhood root experience that really is sort of the root of developing a particular behavior or a particular false belief or whatever it is, right? So I go through this therapy session. So when I was younger, I had asthma forever. I mean, really bad asthma, to the point where I was put in the hospital for weeks at a time. Sometimes I was in there for like months out of a year. Well, I grew up my whole life feeling like disconnected, like I didn't fit in anywhere. I couldn't figure out where that came from. I get uncomfortable sometimes, and really people don't even know this about me because I'm so good at pretending to be an extrovert most of the time. But I get uncomfortable and end up disappearing and just leaving parties, and no one knows I'm leaving because I just got to go. You know, I just bolt because I get really oddly uncomfortable, and I'm just like, I got to go. I need to go home. And so we ended up going into this root experience through this hypnotherapy session. I ended up back, and what they treated asthma back in the day by putting you in a hospital bed that was surrounded by this thick plastic with a zipper on it.
Okay.
And so the nurses would come and they would blow like a humidifier in there. So the everything would get, you know, kind of damp, and they'd have to come in and like change the sheets like all the time. And I just spent months in there, and I was separated from my brothers and sisters, and I was there alone. And I always thought that that was such a negative, and that
having asthma was a negative,
being separated and different from my brothers and sisters and not with them, and the oddball out, and I didn't belong anywhere, and I felt isolated. And
well, you were isolated.
Yeah, I was totally isolated. Yeah. Okay, so I go into a hypnotherapy session. I end up in my mind. She takes me all the way back. I'm in the freaking tent in the hospital bed.
How old are you at this point?
I'm maybe 4.
Holy crap, that's young.
Four? Yeah, I'm like 4.
That's little. That's Leilani. That's little. Yeah. Yes.
I'm in the hospital. I'm like in this hypnotherapy session. I could see myself in this hospital bed in this tent.
Right.
I know how thick the plastic is. I can hear the zipper. I can see the nurses coming in. I could see my mom and my brothers and sisters and my dad coming to visit and then leaving, and I'm still there, and then I'm left there alone again, and all those feelings.
At 4.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, this happened until I was like 8 years old, until we moved out here to California. This is back in Boston.
But the hypnotist part of it, you're 4.
I'm right around 4. I'm okay. Little. I'm right. 4 or 5. Yeah. Okay. I'm little.
Yeah, that's young.
In this little bed. We end up going into, and I'm just going to make this really, you know, short as I can, but we end up going, what is the good that came from that? Mm. Sure, you were isolated and you were there by yourself, but what did that teach you? I wasn't at home all of those weeks and months in a violent home. I grew up in a really violent home.
That was protecting you.
That was protecting me.
From that.
Right. Well, I have no idea what my brothers and sisters went through during that time, or my mom.
Right.
I was not around all that, the rage and the anger and the dysfunction.
Yeah.
I was in a hospital where it was pretty quiet.
Safe.
Safe. Being taken care of. Learning to be alone. Learning to be independent, which has served me incredibly well in my life. And she ended up, that this is where I get back to the healing. So all the decisions that I was making from this wounded place that was unhealed, that I never went back and revisited to even look at the ways that I was thinking about it incorrectly, and making decisions from that wounded place about relationships, about feeling isolated, feeling like I don't belong, feeling like I'm not wanted.
All the negatives.
All the negatives that affected my relationships since then. And I had this huge aha going through this healing session with Jana that just, and then that led to me going, oh my gosh, okay, it wasn't negative. And then you get to understand that you can reparent that wounded child. So I forget where I was, and I had this whole vision about, I was filming a retreat, and I was filming one of her retreats in Florida. We were doing this breathwork stuff, and I literally could see myself going into that hospital bed, unzipping it, grabbing her hand and saying, let's go. I'm breaking you out of this joint. We're going to go enjoy life. Let's go. I'm going to show you what life's really about. And that's my responsibility now, to kind of change that, flip that script for my younger self and heal those places. And then I ended up going, oh my gosh, I had an epiphany even from that. It kept going. Once you start this healing thing, you won't believe it. Just keeps, if you keep your mind open and your heart open and you're open to all this stuff. Then I had this whole other thing. Like, I ended up in the hospital multiple times. And I remember telling my mom, yanking on like her nightgown, like, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. My dad smoking non-filter Pall Malls. And she's like, stop smoking. Right. You are making her sick. He wouldn't. He kept smoking around me. So in my mind back then, he taught me that my health didn't matter. And I haven't been taking care of myself or my health off and on for years.
Right.
And yeah. all of a sudden, I was like, oh my gosh, the root of why I subconsciously didn't think my health mattered came from that. And that was all a lot. That was my dad. His health didn't matter to him. It had nothing to do with my health.
Yes.
He didn't care about his own. Right. He didn't care about mine either. But it didn't mean that I don't have to care about mine. I mean, there was so much. I'm not even going to keep carrying on. But there was so much about that and healing those places so that we can begin to stop the behaviors like pick me.
Right.
You know, to just stop and understand where those behaviors are coming from and heal those places and begin to make way more self-aware decisions and behaviors that are self-loving and confident and, you know, all the things. Yeah. So it was incredible. It was just incredible. I don't even know anybody who wants to go down this healing path. I mean, literally look up emotional healing retreats. Like Jana's insane. She works with her husband. Great, great couple. But yeah, I mean, that to me is the key to how to kind of begin to break out of those behaviors. We have to be willing to look in those really dark, deep places where those root experiences were birthed.
And that's super hard. Like, you know, you have to want to do the work. And sometimes it's just easier to sleep with him and go off on his friend in a bar somewhere than to, you know, book a week retreat and figure out the root and then go from there. I mean, imagine how her life would just be. I mean, all of our lives, obviously, yeah. You know, I'm not better than her or worse than her, you know.
Me either.
Right. You know,
I'm just further down the healing path. It doesn't make me better.
Mm-mm.
It just means I'm making different decisions and different choices. Right. I mean, I grew up with, you know, I've had a lot of that. You think you're better than me. You think you're this. No, I don't think any of that. That's you telling me what I think that I don't think. I don't think any of that.
Right.
I'm just making different choices and different decisions. It doesn't mean I think I'm any better or worse or anything. That's not on my radar. I don't have time to think like that.
Yeah, I don't either. So, but yeah, you have to be willing to do the work. You were willing to do the work, which is why you dove in and went for it, you know, and now look at all the possibilities that have opened up. I mean, that's awesome.
Well, I'm still not dating, so I don't know.
That's a choice that you're making.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
You don't have a lot of room for it right now in your life, actually, with everything else that's going on. And I mean, honestly, we all know if it was a priority to you, you would be dating. It's not. I'll speak for me. I won't speak for you. It's not a priority. So I'm not dating. I just feel like my life is full. That would be a distraction.
Ooh.
Not a enhancement.
Any dating you think would be a distraction? Where are we in our journey when we think dating is a distraction? Ooh, that's a good
one. Well, I don't have a dating journey, so let's start there. Where are we in our dating strategy?
In our journey in general to think that dating would be a distraction.
It is a distraction. Look, going online, going on Match.com, whatever it is, date any, that's a distraction. Just like Instagram's a distraction. TikTok's a distraction. Dating apps are a distraction. How else am I going to meet this person? I don't know. It's not happening organically.
No, I mean, we went out dancing. Okay. Did we talk about this last time?
About
where we went to Swallows and we went dancing? And it was so much fun on our last podcast. Oh, yeah. We haven't done this in a while. Okay.
Yeah.
Holy crap. We had the best time.
Well, I always have a good time. I go there every Sunday.
I haven't been. That was my first time.
You had a ball. You had a ball.
Oh my gosh. I danced so much. I forgot that I could dance like that, number one.
Right.
And these guys are like, oh my God, you're a great dancer. How'd you learn to dance? I'm like, I didn't know that I even remembered how to do any of this. And I'd never been spun around so much in my life. I was having the best time. But the thing is, organically, first of all, there's this one guy in the bar. I even asked you about him. I'm like, oh, yep. Who's that over there? You're like, oh yeah, no trouble. So of course, first right out of the gate, I'm attracted to trouble.
And he is trouble.
Great looking. Oh my gosh. Charisma like crazy. But
yeah,
he lives on a boat. Not a yacht.
No.
On a boat.
Not a yacht. A boat.
Could be a dinghy for all we know. So that's a no. So then I'm like dancing somebody else. Some other guy comes up and asks me to dance. Super cute.
Trying to think who that was.
And we were dancing a couple of times. And remember, he then comes over after we start our second dance and comes over and starts talking to me and begins to tell me his divorce story.
Oh, yeah,
remember this?
Yep.
White t-shirt. Yeah, yep. White t-shirt guy. Oh, yeah. She left him and how angry he is and all this stuff. I'm like, gosh. Oh, my yeah. God. Okay. No number two for the day.
So he's built like a hunk of hunk.
Oh, he was cute, too.
Yeah, he was. He was handsome.
And then guy number three. Remember, door number three opens.
Yeah.
And within an hour, that door was slammed shut.
Because he was married.
So remember, he was dancing with me, flirting with me, comes up to me when this one place is closing and is like, you're going across the street to the other place, right?
Yeah.
Please come over. I want to have one more dance with you. Totally flirting with me, like the whole nine. Come dance with me across the street at this other place. And I'm like, okay, sounds good. And of course, they're ready to go to eat. And they're so nice. They're like, girl, we're going to support you.
Yeah, we never go to that second place, but we're like, let's go.
Let's go. We're going to support you going to get some digits. Come on, Michelle. We're supportive friends, remember?
Yeah, he wanted you to get his phone.
Yeah.
Get his number and let's go.
I'm like, okay. Yeah. So we get there and we go and the guy comes up. Of course, we dance one more dance and I'm getting ready to leave. I'm like, okay, we're going to go eat. So, and he goes, you know, I would love to get your number. But I'm married and my wife doesn't like to dance. So I come out and do this alone. I'm like, are you kidding me right now?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me right now? He didn't say that for the last 2 hours.
Yeah. And I've danced with him before too. I did not know. If I had known, I would have said, he's a great dancer, but he's married. Just know that up front. Because he is handsome.
Very.
Very handsome. I mean, that.
Three.
You picked the three most. Some of the three most handsome men that go there.
And all totally unavailable.
All, no.
No, no. No. So it's.
So you ask me why I'm not dating. Hello. Do you not see a pattern here?
I mean, come on.
What do you mean, come on?
No, I mean, come on. Like, that makes me not, that makes me literally
exactly.
Just don't.
It's a distraction.
Like, I don't want to try after that, kind of.
Exactly.
Like, oh my God, that was like, I had a blast though. I can't say
no,
I didn't have a blast, but
I
Jesus,
like going there and
got my hopes
fun.
Up a little.
And you know, you have a ball and then you go down the street, you eat, you go home. I'm good.
All right.
I just,
spend the night with an enchilada and call and be done.
Call it a night. You know, if someone came in and just rocked my world, of course I want to say, I think I would be open. There's room in my life. I'm just not willing to make the room for the distraction.
That's a good distinction.
I would make the room for an enhancement. I'm not going to make the room for distraction. And nothing has come along. I mean, look, you just had three great distractions, but there was no enhancements.
They all danced really good, though.
Yeah. And you know what? If you go back, they'll all dance with you again.
Well, now I'm aware that it's just a dance.
Right.
Now for me, it's just a dance and fun. I like to flirt, so I'm a total flirt. And you know, and now I know it's just harmless flirting, dancing. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all.
It's a great place to have a great time. And then you go eat and you come home and you had a ball.
Enchilada, pillow.
Yeah. And then, you know. You have something to look forward to the next time. I don't know. I just, if it was a priority, I would be doing something about it, and I'm not, so it's not a priority.
Well, I think this is just giving me time to continue to, you know, focus on the healing stuff and focus on releasing my book, which is all about healing and a healing journey, and continue to work on myself so that I can be the version of myself. And that's my word. I know everybody's like, what's your word for 2023? What's your word? My word is attract. I decided, because I want to become the version of myself that is going to attract really great clients, really great people, great friends, great, hopefully a great man, because what the people that are surrounding us in our lives, we have to understand that we've attracted that. Mm-hmm. I mean, our family, there's some exceptions there, obviously, but the people in general in our lives that we are hanging out with, that we are surrounded by, we're attracting that. And I want to attract really quality people that are super integrity-based, heart-centered people that are just honest, really good humans. You know what I mean? Sure. I can't do the ego, narcissist, selfish, unthoughtful. I could go on and on. I just can't stomach it anymore. I just can't. I mean, the amount of people who just don't have any sort of self-awareness is astounding.
Well, she and I are looking at each other because we had something happen today with the mutual friend. We won't go into it, but I just think we're outgrowing those behaviors.
For sure.
Yeah, and we're choosing different people for different things that they're bringing to our lives. Instead of draining us, they're fulfilling us. And the drainers, I'm not kicking them to the curb, but they are over on the side.
Yeah.
You know,
even clients. Like, I had a client last year. That was amazing. Clients. He was amazing for the company in a lot of ways. Everything that we did for him, we absolutely crushed it. I mean, we crushed that entire project.
Yeah, you did.
I mean, but it was really, really toxic. There was a meltdown situation on a Zoom call that we recorded that was really, really bad. That was cussing and on his part and calling names and cutting people down. It was really, really bad. And on that call, I was like, you really should start looking for somebody else. And he did. And he called, you know, out of the blue. And instead of just having somebody else take over one aspect that I was encouraging him to make sure that he hired somebody in-house for this, he ended up pulling the plug on everything. And he did it without any warning. He called while I was in the middle of an event. He knew I was at an event. And it was just... You know, it was just terrible. It was just really crappy. You know, it was just really shitty the way that he did it. Not that I don't disagree with us not working together anymore, because it was just really unhelpful. My entire team was like, oh my God, thank God. But yeah, I mean, it just to me felt really shitty. It felt like a dig. And at the time when he's doing this, he's like, I love you. I care so much about you. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, seriously? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I mean, I know he was good for your company, but there were flags the moment you met him.
Day one.
I remember having conversations with you on this couch about mm-hmm. that person. And I mean, yeah, there were flags
everywhere. Even my daughter. Everywhere. But we'll probably end it with this because I don't think we have time to get into this as a whole show. But how many of us in relationships, in business, do we ignore red flags for the sake of something? I ignored the red flags. I saw them. But
we all did.
Opportunity for us to handle a project like this from the ground up and make this part of our portfolio and really prove really, really how great our team is and what we do. We're really, really, really good at what we do. And it was an opportunity to showcase that on a whole other level and grow my business. And I chose that over the red flags. I ignored the red flags for the sake of those other things. And those other things were true, and it was great in a lot of ways. But and I actually thought I was true friends with this person. I thought that we had a, for me, I thought it was a real connection. But then he ghosted me on my birthday in Austin when we had plans, just totally left me stranded.
Yeah.
I mean, there was just, again, thing after thing after thing after thing that it was all about him. So it was... that was a big, big lesson for me, and grateful. Don't get me wrong. So incredibly grateful for work, the work that we did together, what we grew our team, what our team was able to do for him to launch and get off the ground was phenomenal. I mean, we rocked that, but it came at a price.
At a price. Yeah.
And I learned a lot from it. And, yeah, so my word this year is attract, because I want to attract people that are going to be really great for my business in that same way, but not be toxic like that and not cause me to turn my back on my values of my company core values and my own personal values, because there were some things that he was doing in his life that are totally against my core values.
Oh, yeah, I forgot
and
about that.
Yeah, that whole situation. And I don't support that. I said it over and over again. I don't support this. Please, I don't want to know about it. I don't want to see it, hear it, nothing. I don't support it. And, but I learned so much from that. So I'm actually, you know, kind of grateful for it.
Well,
because,
no, and you should be. Because you did learn. You learned a lot, which, you know, that's the key. That's why we're put in positions and, you know, opportunity sometimes is to learn something. And the other thing is you got out of it a lot quicker than you might have in the past because of your growth and your healing. And you saw it. It's like, this is not healthy. And you asked, and you went to your team and said, "You guys, what do I do?" And they all were in unison of, yep. "We need out.
Yeah,
we need to step out of this."
Yeah,
and so you did. You know, he triggered it by being ugly on a Zoom call, but you know, thank God he did.
Yeah,
he was showing you who he was.
Oh man,
and it was like right in your face on a Zoom call in front of everybody.
And right. I went back and watched it. Oh my gosh, it's unreal.
Which is why your team went, we're out.
Well, yeah.
Like Michelle.
Yeah.
We got to step out.
Yeah.
It was and you bad. Did. But the growth from that, you know, and the opportunities that you have now, you know, you can't discredit any of that. You need to be grateful for that.
I'm so grateful.
Also be grateful that where you are in your healing process and your strength and your worth, that you were able to walk away when you did and you're still standing tall.
And go in full trust mode knowing that the universe has my back, and not only has my back, but this person was not my financial source. This person isn't my source.
Yes.
Universe, God, universe, whatever you want to call it, is my source.
Yeah.
And I need to trust that, and I need to put all my eggs in that basket, you know? And even though losing that was, you know, in the beginning of the year and people going, we're hiring in-house, so we're not going to, you know, move forward with this contract because we're hiring in-house. And, you know, those are tough phone calls to get. Those are tough emails to get. And you got to take big old deep breaths when you're an entrepreneur and realize that you're going to attract really something bigger and better is coming around the corner, that you're going to attract amazing new people in your life and new clients that you're going to be able to really help and stay focused on your core values. And our core values, number one, is integrity. So integrity, support, growth, creativity, and freedom. Like, those are our core values. And I need to put those all over my house, in my bathroom, on the mirror. You know, I want to stay focused on those and never, ever, ever compromise those ever again, no matter what. And I learned that last year. So I'm really grateful.
Well,
big lesson.
As cheesy as it sounds, it's like, you know, when one door closes, another one opens. That's actually very true. And in all honesty, I just like thought of this when you were talking, is someone could be watching you right now and wanting to work with you, but then look and see who your clients are and they see this person and backtrack and Google. Oh. And go, wait, whoa, no, that's not anything I'm interested in. If she's supporting him, I can't hire her to support
us. So true.
You know? And I mean, so you close that door, and this person that's been watching you is like, oh, wait, okay, now she's not working with that.
Never
thought
of that.
She is back on her integrity and her morals, and this is who Michelle is. It's like, okay, let's work with her now. Let's make that phone call. You never know when you talk about the universe and God mm. and all of that. You never know what's going on out there.
I never thought about that. That is such a good point.
When you were saying that, I was like, guy, you know, because of how Google and how your website said it. I mean, you know, someone could research and go, oh, why is she representing him? He's doing this and this and this and that. And, you know, not that he's a terrible person. It no. just didn't work for you.
No, we're not for. In alignment. Our right. and not our at all. Our values are our values and integrity is not in alignment. No. That's all there is to it. And when that shows up, I need to learn how to just say no right out the gate, no matter right. what.
Because you don't know who's no matter watching.
What. Right. You don't know who's watching. I love that. Okay, what's your 2023 word?
Okay, so I'm going to piggyback on something that that you've talked about. Trying to think. I think you started hitting on this a little bit more before the new year, but showing up.
Mm.
Yeah, I need to show up. I need to show up more for my family, my friends.
Yourself.
Myself, sure. My job. Just I need to start showing up bigger than I have, than I am, and then that I have. Because, you know, COVID let us not show up.
And that's a good point.
We did not have to show up. We could hide. We could hang out at home. Yeah. And I need to show up more. Like, and even the podcast, I could have thought of a million excuses on why not to come down today. A million. Mm-hmm. A million. And I kept thinking, no, you said you were going to show up. You need to show up. You need to hold yourself accountable and show up.
Yeah.
And, you know, and there's a couple things I want to do that I need to show up for. I need to start showing up, and I need to show up bigger than I am. I'm playing small.
Okay. I like that. And yeah. I mean, that's what happened on New Year's. I got invited. Well, I was put on
perfect call. Same. I should have shown up, and a million excuses came into play.
You had 7 hours to get ready.
I know.
Seven. Okay. So here's what happened though. I was put on a guest list. A client of mine, super sweetheart, put me on his guest list for a private university club party. And I was supposed to go out of town and go out of the country. And it just was not in flow. Every turn and corner was not in flow. I was listening to what was going on and paying attention. It was like, this is not in flow. I'm not going to force it. So I ended up staying in town. And he put me on the guest list. And I thought he was going to be there. So I show up by myself. And he's not there, and I'm there by myself. And I just told you guys at the beginning of this, I already get a little, you know, uncomfortable a little bit. So I'm standing at the bar with a glass of champagne, and this woman comes and stands up next to me, and she says something, and I go, yeah, I'm not quite sure I'm going to make it till midnight. She goes, yeah, that's always a possibility. And her and I just started chit-chatting. She ended up being hilarious, so fun, so nice. Her husband comes up. We hit it off. They're like, oh my gosh, no, you're our guest now. We're hanging out for the rest of the night. Then some other lady comes up and goes, I know you. You're the woman who has a book and you have a movie. I used to go to your events at House of Blues. You're Michelle Renee. And I'm like, oh my God, yeah. I didn't even know what to say. And her and I ended up hugging, and I'm meeting her husband, and then we all end up dancing, and we all end up bringing in the new year together out on the dance floor. Of course, they're couples, and they're all kissing, and I'm just standing there, you know, taking selfies. But yeah, it was totally a blast, though. And when I got home, I ended up putting a video on Instagram saying, guess what this taught me tonight? To show up.
Yeah.
I just showed up, and I didn't bail.
You rang in the new year with new friends.
I didn't fail. Like everything in me was telling me to just run, you know, go home and hide, like you said, but I didn't. I hung in there. I was like, let me just see, maybe he'll show up. Maybe, you know, maybe something, let's just hang in there. And
right.
You know, and it was nice. I mean, it was a $250 ticket with an open bar and great food. And I was like, I'll just drink a couple glasses of champagne. It's overlooking all of San Diego on top of Symphony Towers.
Yeah.
Really great place, University Club. I love it there. And yeah, and then they started pouring Clase Azul tequila. And you know, that's my favorite.
Yes.
And I was like, I can't believe they're pouring this stuff for free. So I'll take one of those with a king cube.
Club makes sense. Yeah.
So I was just, and we just ended up cracking up, dancing, laughing, having the best. It was just had the best time. Yeah, and it's all because I just decided to, and I was like you. I sent somebody a message at 8 p.m. on Facebook saying I'm supposed to leave in an hour and I'm still on my couch in my robe. I was right there on the fence, not sure I was actually going to make it, but I bought the dress. I had bought the boots.
You look hot,
oh,
too.
Yeah, that
yeah,
dress.
That was
and
a
those
cute
boots.
Outfit. Super cute.
Well, because I start one of our clients' School of Self-Image, Tanya Lee, and we're doing her podcast and stuff. And I listen to everything this woman has to say, and we filmed one of her events. And I have made a decision that I want to be more, I want to show up how I always envisioned that I could. I want to be more stylish.
That's cool.
I want to look like a worldly, stylish, sophisticated, sexy woman. And that's okay to say. And it's okay to be. And
yes,
so, yeah, I'm in the process of just kind of, you know, when I shop, I'm thinking that now. And it's okay to, yeah, I'm just thinking very differently. I'm kind of shedding some old skin, which is really kind of fun.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I will say I don't feel like I missed anything. I mean, I didn't have FOMO or anything, but I just thought I need to show up. I could have showed up. I should have showed up, or I don't know. Should have doesn't sound right because I don't feel like I missed anything by not going. I just feel like what was my big?
You're getting a download telling you that you need to start showing up more.
Yeah.
You're getting that hit telling you that this is.
I am.
And maybe you didn't miss anything then, but there might be something that you actually will miss out on if you keep not showing up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just, that is just resonating me. It's, I feel it in my heart, my head, my body, everything. Like it just, and I feel like I'm copying you in a little way because you're the one that brought it up, but it just resonates with me. And I just thought I need to pay attention to that and need to start doing it. So that's my word.
All right. I feel like that is the perfect way to sign off.
Okay.
Here's to showing up in 2023. Here's to attracting amazing people, attracting success, attracting whatever it is that we want to attract, quality people, quality experiences, right?
Yeah.
So here's to showing up. Here's to attracting everything that we deserve in this life.
That's good. That we deserve.
That we deserve. Everything that we deserve. And here's to more fun and dancing at Swallows.
Yay.
All right. If you like our podcast, Dolly and Dolly, like it, love it, subscribe, hit all the buttons, share, do all the things. We would really appreciate it. Subscribe, listen, download, yeah, all the stuff. So we will look forward to seeing you next time, and hopefully it will be in next week. We'll see how it goes. No pressure.
Here's to showing up.
Yeah, okay, yeah, we're going to show up. No pressure, but here's to showing up.
No pressure.
Okay, bye.
Bye. That's funny. No pressure, but you better show up, bitch.